All right, so welcome everybody. We are doing a video call, and today I want to bring a teaching on Ephesians 4:12. We're going to call it the purpose of the gathering. This is pretty important. We want to have a good understanding of what the body of Christ is to be for, the gathering. And I think we all know, obviously, everything we do is for the glory of God. That's number one. Everything in our life is for the glory of God. But I think there is also other purposes that the scriptures teach us about the gathering, the purpose of the gathering. And we're going to cover Ephesians 4:12. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15. And I'm going to do this teaching. And then me and my brother are going to talk about it. So let's read this here. He that descended is the same that has also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that's verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's going to be the meat of my teaching here. But going on to verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's a lot there. We could go into verse 11 talking about the different positions that he's given, or the different, I don't like to call it positions, the different named offices. Not even offices is a good word. It's not like I'm a office of apostle. It's just functions. That's a better word. Functions. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. We're not going to cover that today. The second part where it talks about no longer being tossed to and fro, that's the purpose of this, is to train up the saints for ministry, for the perfecting of them, and for the edifying of the body. And so we want to focus on that verse 4:12, Ephesians 4:12. So the first thing we notice about this verse is those men and the body are given by the Lord, right? So we see those functions. I don't like that word office or position. Functions. And teachers, pastors, evangelists, and so on. Given for what? They have a specific purpose, don't they? Yeah. And the purpose is told to us in this verse, perfecting of the saints. That's interesting. That word perfecting, let's look at some Greek words here. Katartismos. It means complete, furnished, perfecting, equipping. So it's pretty clear to see the purpose of the gathering is to be perfecting the saints. And this isn't hard to imagine, because not long ago I did a teaching on the word perfect, and I think it's close to 30 times in the New Testament it calls saints to be perfect, like Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. And that word perfect means complete and mature. It also would mean you're equipped. If you're a complete, mature Christian, you're equipped to do the ministry and live the life. But let's look at things like Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So these functions in the body, elders, teachers, pastors, we all submit one to another, but in our proper function, with accountability in the word. Everyone has accountability in the word, with the older, more seasoned men in the faith being overseers, usually teachers, and all men can offer and bring what God is showing them in a body. So it's not a one-man show, two-man show. Everyone can participate, with all of the functions being operated correctly and everything being tested to scripture, so that everything is in order. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us that. So these functions are put in place with authority for the perfecting of the saints. This is the whole purpose of it. And we as saints in the body are called to be perfect, as I said, many times in the scriptures. Hebrews 13:21, to make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. I like that. Our perfect working is well-pleasing in God's sight. It reminds me of in the book of John, the epistle of John, where he talks about, or the letters of John, I should say, he talks about it pleases him when his children walk in the truth. So it's well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, by to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And this perfect that is talked about, so it's for the perfecting of the saints, that's what we're focusing on here, the first part of verse 12, it really matters. And why do we know it really matters? It's all over Scripture. And then in Revelation, we have the words here that say this, ready? Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And Christ is telling the bodies, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. That should be pretty telling to us, that he is looking for us to be perfect as his body, a spotless bride. That might not mean that we never, ever, ever, ever make a mistake or can fall in or choose a sin. It means we're completed and matured and equipped. And the more complete and mature and equipped you are, the less sin you live in, the less faults you will have before God. So Revelation 3:2 is pretty telling about that. And how do we do this in the body, this perfecting? Well, as we said, God has those who teach the truth, and then we must walk in the truth. The purpose of teaching for the perfecting, very important, ready? 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, that means instruction, continue in them. Look at that. Our faith leads us to the truth, which is sound doctrine. We must continue. That means endure. You're seeing the gospel here. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. What saves us? Works? No. The truth. We're practicing sound instruction. We're practicing truth. It's the evidence that we have Christ and the Holy Spirit of truth in us. If you have the Son, and you have the Word, and you have the Spirit, and they all represent perfect truth, what's going to flow out of us? What's going to be in our lives, saints, brothers and sisters? It's going to be truth. So we're not saved by our works. Our works are proving that we're part of this glorious Savior who shed his blood for us and rose again. And then we have Ephesians 5, 26, 27. That he might sanctify, we've done a study on that before, and cleanse it. So we need to be cleansed, right? That's how we're perfected and made perfect, made complete, with the washing of the water of the word. I love that. It's just like such a visual, almost like baptism. Go down in the water, come out, you're clean, a fresh start. But we're washed in the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious ecclesia body, not having spot. Look at that. We don't have a bunch of spots on our garments, saints, or a wrinkle. We shouldn't be all wrinkled up like the world says and the churchianity says. Oh, we're all just a bunch of big sinners. That's not what the Bible says. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What a high calling. What a high standard we have. And it's because we have a high Savior, the highest of all. We have a Holy Spirit, the highest calling of all. We have the Word of God, the highest of all. We have a Father, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Of course, how should we be living and walking if we're a branch of this glorious vine? John 17:16 through 19. Ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's really key. If your gospel doesn't call you out of the world, you have a false gospel. We preach that all the time at church places. We did it just today. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at that. So we're perfecting saints by teaching them doctrine in the word. It's how we're sanctified in the word by the truth. According to Jesus Christ, he's not a liar. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So this is the process in the body. Those functions of men, overseeing, teaching, all men, sharpening swords with each other, in the word, perfecting ourselves, in sound doctrine and instruction. The goal is sanctification and washing of the word so that we might walk in the truth, so we could be without spot and without wrinkle. You see a purpose here. It's not a social club. It's not to see the coffee and donut bar. It's not to see new programs, new books, the latest and greatest Christian contemporary music that's not even biblical and is fleshly. No, the purpose is specific in God's word for the perfecting of the saints, okay? That's what we're talking about here. And a good way to do this, the best way to do it, is daily. Now, that doesn't mean we all have to gather every day. That's a good thing if you can gather with brothers and sisters every day. I love it. If it's not possible, doesn't mean you have to gather every day. But guess what you can do every day? You can edify each other every day. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So most people listening to my voice, if they're not my brother and sisters and know me face to face, they're listening online. They're listening via Facebook Messenger. They're listening via an email, audio. They have technology. We can all edify each other via technology when we're long distance from each other. And this is how we can edify and encourage each other every day. And this is all working for the perfecting of the saints, as we're reading about. And this is also done in body life. If you can meet every day, that's great. If you have set times when you can all come together a couple times a week, however often you can do it, that's great too. Every day is the Lord's day. We don't practice Sunday, Saturday. Every day is the Lord's day. Any day is a good day to meet and gather. It really has to do with people's scheduling and then, of course, being Spirit-led. But 1 Corinthians 14:26, Brother Paul says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So look at that. It's bringing up that word again, edifying, which is enhancing, encouraging, training, equipping, admonishing. This is what we do with each other in the body of Christ. So moving on here, again, as I said, in today's online world and social media that we all can use, we can, as long as we're not use it for evil, doesn't cause you to sin, you're not wasting your time, you're not listening to false teachers, you're using it to either proclaim the gospel or you're using it to edify brothers and sisters, that's all fine. But the meat of God's word and teaching should still be brought through a body gathered, if you know other saints, so it's heard, it's proclaimed by men rightly. We believe the women are to be silent in the body when it comes to teaching and learning. The women are to learn under the subjection of men. The women are to either ask their husbands, or if you have single women, either their fathers, or they would come to the elders if they have questions. So there's an order, orderly. It's all done orderly in the body. And that's where the best teaching happens. When men come together, and sisters, and the word is rightly divided and taught, kind of like we're doing here, in the body, so with everyone's attention, everyone's listening, men can be sharpening their iron with each other, the Spirit can help discern, and it's fresh in their remembrance, and everybody can, right at that moment, either say amen, or say, wait a minute, brother, you got false doctrine there, or no, not quite right, we got to help you massage it a little bit, and all that can take place in the body. But if we don't do it together at times, and we're doing it just online, that gets really kind of like patchwork, and that can be really confusing, and false teaching can get posted from, let's say, a young brother that doesn't know any better, and all of a sudden it's out there for 2 days before we meet, and there's false teaching on your forum. When we do it together, it's something that can be caught and can be worked on as we go. So online is great. I love it. We edify all of us. We edify on our forums, sisters with sisters, brothers with brothers. We get to see each other's edifying. But the meat is in the gathering of the body. And as Ephesians 4:16 tells us, that first part is for the perfecting of the saints. So the next part of that verse, he says, for the work of the ministry. So that work, that word work, ergon, it means to toil. I love that. An effort or an occupation, based on context. So work could be like your job, but in this case, it means the ministry. A deed, doing labor work, could be business or employment. Something you undertake to do, accomplished by hand or accomplished by mind. So the work of the ministry, it's to labor. And in this case, who are we laboring for? Well, number one, the Lord. That's our focus. Then number two would be each other. We minister to each other. And then number three would be we minister to the world, preaching the gospel as we go forth and share it. And of course, men are looking after their houses. I have to look after my house. Other men have to look after their wives and children. Single brothers don't have to worry about their house, which is basically just their life. But that's the order. God, then the brethren and family, and then preaching the gospel. We look after each other. And so we're doing a work. We're doing a labor. Ephesians 2:10 says we're made for good works. All the churchianity people, it happened just today, like to quote Ephesians 2. Oh, by grace through faith you're saved, not of works. And they love to live on that verse. We're not saved by works of the law. That's what that's saying. We're saved by faith. And then it says, your works back up your faith. Go read James 2. Your faith is justified by your works. It's proof. It's like two heads of a coin, heads and tails. You can't separate them. Faith and works always go together, like love and faithfulness in a marriage. They always go together. If you're a married man and you cheat on your wife or abuse her, no one believes you really love her. If you're a Christian and you say you love God and you sin against Him willfully all the time, who's going to believe you love God? So faith and works always go together. So we have a work for the Lord and we're laboring. And then it says, for the ministry, diakone, it means attendance to, service of the Christian faith, in this case, most important, to execute the commands of God and to promote religious thought. Yep, we have a religion, a pure religion, James 1, looking after widows, orphans, and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Of course, we're preaching the gospel as well. So we have a work of the ministry. So we're putting this together, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, right? And what are we doing? We're basically ministering the word by those who teach and oversee to the body, and any man can bring topics and share and bring scripture and bring thoughts and bring concepts to be tested. We're all tested to the word. And then we are edifying and sharpening each other in the body of Christ this way. So perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's why we come together and go to the Word. And it's all done in the Word. There is prayer. Prayer is wonderful. There is singing. Singing is wonderful and fine. But if you look at in the Scriptures, the predominance of the gathering is study in the Word. It really is. I love the example of Jesus. He gives us the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26. And then He sings one hymn. And then they go forth out. And so music has become like the main function in a lot of churchianity, and a lot of praying goes on, but very little of the word, and it should be the opposite way. So we really need to be word-centered. We live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. If you don't know the word of God, saints, brothers and sisters, how are you going to obey it? And then the next part of that verse, Paul says, for the edifying of the body of saints. Edifying. It's a structure. It's a building up, or it's a confirmation of a structure. It's building up. It is promoting thought and growth in the Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. So edifying. It's something that builds up. It builds up the structure of the Christian faith. And this is the efforts of us saints that all do ministry towards each other, and especially towards teachers and overseers and any man that wants to be a teacher, especially. But again, all men can bring things, and women minister to women in the body. Older women teach the younger women, so they have a great ministry there as well. But it's key that we see that the purpose of this is to edify, to work for the edification of each other in the ministry laboring, for the perfection of the saints. Are you putting this together? It's not a social club. It's not, I love to see Harriet and all her children. I love to hang out with Brother Tom. Well, that's all great, but what are you coming for? We're all here for God's glory, and then we're working through this process of Ephesians 4:12 for perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And these efforts are very important because we go forth to do ministry. We go forth to live the Christian faith. If we're not equipped and trained, we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to put on the Ephesians 6 armor. And so this is why we're doing this in the body of Christ. Then Christ sends us out like sheep among wolves. If you're a sheep going out among wolves, like Sister Amon and I do among all of these worldly events and churchianity places, and my other brothers and sisters go out and do this, you got to be equipped. You go out without that, you're to the slaughter. And so we're to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and this equipping helps us do this. And we work to do this what? In unity, to be a perfect man. He talked about not tossed about by winds of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love. So I said a lot of stuff. Let me reread those verses for you. Ephesians 4:13-16, after verse 12, 13 through 16, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That's what all this edification is for. To the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Hey, he said we're perfecting each other to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That reminds me of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1 saying, imitate me while I imitate Christ. We're supposed to be like Christ. Then he says in 14, that we henceforth be no more children. So what are children? Children are like innocent, maybe not a lot of knowledge, not a lot of understanding or wisdom. What happens to them? Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Well, we know that today. 40,000 different denominations. You can't throw a stick without hitting a false teaching church somewhere on every corner in America, Canada, wherever you are. If you're an established country, they're false teachers and denominations all over the place. So he says, not tossed about, carried about by every wind of doctrine. No, we walk in sound doctrine. By the sleight of men, this would be deceivers, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yeah, we just came from a church today. Instead of preaching the gospel for evangelism, they got bounce houses, barbecues, balloons, beasts, llamas, petting zoos. And then they deceive people with easy believe gospels. Come into our club. You're going to love our program. See how they lie in wait to deceive these hireling pastors that are cowards. When you approach them with the word of God, they run away like coward Revelation 21:8 weaklings. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Look at that. The truth is love. One guy said to me, you're not very loving. I said, the truth is love, sir. If you don't get the truth, you're going to lose your soul. I love you enough. I want you to hear the truth. He thinks truth is scratching, or excuse me, he thinks love is scratching his itchy ears, but it's not so. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. John 16 said the Spirit will teach you all truth. That's what we can have, saints. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you think about that, a body, a joint working together, hand, eye, foot, ear, all of that, till it's working together. It's just a beautiful picture that we see of what the body's supposed to be. It's great to have relationships. It's great if it creates a social environment. I get it. Children need that. Women need that. Men need that. That's not the function. The function is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, all right, and the edification of the body. And as I mentioned before, we also see songs as part of a gathering. Yeah, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's awesome. Not everybody's gifted that way. Everybody can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Some people are better singers than others. Some people can bring that gift to the body and help other people become more, I don't think the word is musical when you just sing, become more vocal in your singing. We don't believe in instruments at all. So that's a wonderful gift. That's a part of the gathering. And of course, praying. is part of it. We talked about that, along with sound doctrine. That's right in there. And then brothers and I were talking about this, the Lord's Supper, what some people would call breaking of bread. I think that's also a vital part of a body that's healthy and is taking the things of Christ very, very serious. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship. So that's what they're about. Truth, doctrine, scripture, learning it, and fellowship, the breaking of bread. There's some theological debate there. Some people say that's just a meal. Other people say it's the Lord's Supper. I really believe that there is evidence in history and in scripture that they were doing the Lord's Supper, breaking bread together. It was part of a meal. It wasn't a separate ritual. I've got articles on that, on the Lord's Supper, on our teaching blog at don'tperish.com. And it says they were in prayers. But again, it is teaching of the Word of God, proclaiming, whether it's verse by verse, topical, answering questions, the bringing forth of the Word and the truth to the gathered bodies, the gathered body to bring doctrines and instruction. Doctrine means instruction. And we must have our focus on that as a body. I believe that that is what is going to equip us mostly. Singing is great. Praying is great. Biblical. But I believe the teaching of the Word of God is what we must fill ourselves with for the days that are coming in the world. Evil, last days, Antichrist environments. It is the Word of God, yep, seasoned with prayer and a song in your heart, that are going to help us see through all of this. 2 Thessalonians 2:14-17, some brothers and I read this whole chapter and kind of talked about it. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Think about that. Hold fast to the traditions. Paul's talking about what he handed down through Christ. That is our instruction and doctrine. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he's given the commandments of God. That is our marching orders, along with Jesus' words, and along with some pre-Torah things that are still in existence. That is how we function today as a body. And that is our roadmap. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ and himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts. I love this. Establish you, or it says establish. I think we say in English, establish. Establish you in every good word and work. Do you see that? That's what this whole training of Ephesians 4:12 is doing. Establishing us in every good word and in our works. And this mostly gets done in the gathering. Now, I believe you should have your own separate study life. I think you should have your own separate prayer life. I think you should be following Christ, of course, whenever you're away from body and brothers and sisters. Otherwise, we're just like churchianity people that just go to a building, do a service. There is no such thing as a worship service, by the way. Your entire life is a living sacrifice, Romans 12. But you should be involved in study, seeking things out on your own along with the body, and it should all be done in the Spirit. Again, I'm talking to born-again saints by the gospel here, the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection. You've repented to him. You've been born of his Spirit unto a new life, new heart, new mind. You're striving in holiness and obedience. That's the doctrines that we're teaching. And then you're enduring in the faith. All of that should be carried out in your personal life as well as in your body life. And Romans 10:17 tells us this. Ready? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's a powerful statement. We hear the Word of God proclaimed, whether we read it to ourselves, we hear it on audio. A lot of people like audio Bible. That's awesome. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus told Peter this. I like this. John 21:15-17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. It's interesting that Christ says this three times. There's kind of a pattern in God's word. Another good example is like when it talks about God. God's not just holy. In Revelation, it says he's holy, holy, holy. So sometimes when we see things three times, it's like an extra stamp of importance. And so it's interesting how Jesus says, feed his sheep, three times right there. That is the job of the body. Yep. The women help feed other women. And of course, they're help feeding the children. All the men help feed each other. The older men and overseers help feed everyone and keep everything in check, make sure that everything is in order. And the body works as a fit unit joined together in sound doctrine. Yes, it can be singing. Yes, it can be prayer. But the vast majority is going to the Word, perfecting you, work of the ministry, and edifying of the body. That's what Ephesians 4:12 is all about. And I hope that has brought you some clarity on what's the purpose of the body. Overall, it's to bring God glory. I get it. Every day, every minute, every second of our life does that. But the purpose of this unit he put together, called the body of Christ, the ecclesia, are the called out ones, feasting on his word, walking in it, perfecting each other, so we can do what Jesus called us to do. Go preach the gospel. Make disciples. Hey, we're all making disciples of each other, right? To Jesus. And teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. So my admonition to myself, my house, my wife, my brethren, let's labor to feed the sheep that Jesus asked Peter to do. We're doing the same job. He ordained it to be done. He uses the body and the functions that he gave different men, and he rises men and women up to do this calling perfectly as we love one another, prefer each other, are examples and witnesses unto each other, and then we do it in the body, we do it in our private lives, and then we go forth and we preach the gospel to the lost world. So I hope this teaching has edified you. Stay tuned. At the Ecclesia gathering, a brother and I are going to talk about this, and he could test me, and we'll go a little bit deeper on some other concepts if they come up by the Spirit, and I think that discussion will also edify you. So, thanks for listening. Seek the kingdom, and hopefully you have a body of believers to do it with that are holy and godly. If not, reach out to us. We'd love to encourage you. If truth is your goal, we are with you for the glory of God. Love you all. May God be praised.